All right, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be with you guys. And man, as we were singing that, I just got to say, powerful moment this morning to gather in worship and be in this place. And I'm so glad that you're here with us. I don't take that for granted. My name is John Kenny. I'm the senior pastor here at Quest and really glad to have you here. Before I get into what we're talking about today, a message called Reset, I wanted to take a moment to second what Brad Medford, our student pastor, mentioned just a little while ago, and that is the Next Gen Open House. That is happening next Sunday night. So if you have children in K through 12th grade, any of that, kindergarten through 12th grade, we are having an open house, and we want them to come, and we want you to come as well. We're going to be speaking to and talking to the parents. I'm going to be sharing some things with you. There's an open house where you can see the areas. If you're new to the church or your students or kids haven't been involved in those programs, we want you to know about those. So again, that's next Sunday night, 4 o'clock right here. There'll be a time to hang out and have some refreshments and things like that, meet some other folks too. But just to be clear, it is for not just kids and students in K through 12th grade, but for their parents, guardians, grandparents as well. We want y'all to come and be a part of that. So I want to second that. And I can't wait to share a little bit about why the next generation is so important to us and how you can be involved with that and how we can partner with you and your family in raising the next generation. It is my belief that one of the greatest tasks, if not the greatest task of the church, is to pass on faith to the next generation. Amen? So this ought to matter to us, and I invite you to come out and be a part of that. All right, so today we're talking about reset, and it just seems like that time of year. And I got to tell you, I love technology, but you can ask people who know me, I'm not really good at technology. Anybody else in the house like that today? You love it, but you're not quite sure how to use it entirely. That some people are raising hands for other people. I love that. Right? And that's kind of the way it is with me. But here's one thing I've learned about technology, whether it be a phone or a computer or a tablet. By the way, a tablet is not a paper notebook. It is an electronic device. Have we learned this, right? Routers, whatever. Every once in a while, they get really messed up. I don't know why. They get full of stuff. They get cluttered. You have to like turn the apps off. And basically, you have to press the reset button. You know what I'm talking about? And it just feels good to start the device over. Now, I learned about this. I was on the phone with a technology company for a long time one day and found out there was this little tiny button on the back of my router, and it, guess what it says? Reset. You know, when Wi-Fi goes out at the home of teenagers, it's as if you live in the last century, well, 2 centuries ago now. I mean, it just doesn't. So we have to get that thing working. So, you know, I hit the reset button, started everything over, and it felt so good to reset things. Technology's that way. You have to kind of reset it every once in a while because you want it to be fresh and new, and it always feels good, like, it powered back up. It worked, right? That's the way it is with technology because it needs a reset. It needs a fresh start every once in a while. And I was just thinking as we gather in this place today, using that as kind of an analogy, don't our lives need a fresh start, a reset? I think as you come into this place today, because of the time of year it is, and for us, school starts back tomorrow. I know that's awful or great. I don't know what it is. We've already had the open house for school and stuff like that, and we're getting ready to go back. And it just feels every year at this time of year in my house and my family, and maybe for yours, some of you are like, what, school starts back? God bless you. You don't have kids, whatever. All right, whatever. But hey, yes, it does. Pray for us. Got to start packing lunches again. You know, all that kind of stuff. Because it's this time of year, I was kind of thinking, you know, our lives need a reset. And we want to talk about that today. And I wanted to kind of challenge you with some things in your life that you could reset today, that you could have a fresh start with today. And again, because it's this time of year, it feels like that. It comes again in January, but something about August timeframe when school starts back, it feels like that as well. And so I want to take one Sunday to talk about reset. We're going to start with something else next week. Invite you back for that as well. But today, to reset, to declutter, to get back on track, I think as you come in this place today, you probably feel like, yeah, I need that. I need a declutter. If I had a reset button, I wish somebody would push it. I need that to happen in my life. And we're going to talk about that. Does anybody need that today? I mean, really? And I wonder if some of you need permission to reset your life. Like sometimes we feel like, seriously, it's okay to start over, to just kind of get all that other stuff behind me and start over. I mean, isn't that wrong to do? No, it's not wrong to do. It's a great thing to do, to reset your life. And I want to give you permission if you need it, not like you're asking me, but if you were to reset your life today. As I was thinking about that and praying over that, about what to share today with you, I was thinking, you know, resetting or having a fresh start is actually a very spiritual act to do. To start over, to reset your life is a very spiritual thing. What I mean is it's a very godly thing to do. Scripture talks about our lives being reset in Christ. And I want to read something to you here in just a moment that talks about that in one of Paul's letters to the Corinthians in the first century. He wanted to be sure they understood something. But I want you to know, let me just preface this by saying that it's not just one time that you are invited by God to reset yourself and reset your life. The great thing about God, the reason he's so good, in my opinion, is because no matter how many times I need a reset, he lets me reset my life. Is that not good? I mean, when I mess up, he lets me reset. When I need a declutter, he lets me reset. When I need a fresh start, he lets me reset. In all areas of my life, God allows me to do this. In fact, in Scripture, when it talks about, listen, when it talks about being saved, it actually doesn't say that you're saved one time as if it's over. Now, yes, you come and you make a statement of faith, a profession of faith, and you say, I want to know Christ, and you decide to know him, and that is a moment in time, for sure. For me, I couldn't remember the moment in time. It was a couple years that I kind of remember making that decision. Maybe that makes some of you feel better. I don't have it written in the front of my Bible. This is like my eighth Bible anyway. I don't know where that one went, right? It's okay. If you have that Bible, awesome, but everybody doesn't, all right? But the fact is, the reality is, in Scripture, whenever it talks about salvation and about this good thing that God does where he lets us reset our lives, is listen to this. This is powerful. You're allowed to do it over and over. Salvation is ongoing. Salvation is almost always in the Bible spoken of in the present tense, which means this is what it says. You're being saved. Doesn't that give hope to you? It does to me, because sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved. And I don't know if you're a Christian or not here today. If you're not, we welcome you here. We're glad you're here. But for those of us who say we follow Jesus, sometimes we question, don't we? Because of our lives and because of the mess we make of them, amen? I don't even know. But here's the good thing. You've come here today and God offers a reset. I mean, I think some of us need that. And it's a very spiritual thing. It's a very godly thing to have. So I want to read to you something Paul says about resetting your life in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. He says this: "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person." Now, if somebody's new, what does that mean? It's been renewed, because they were old. Now they're new in Christ, so they become a new person. And then it goes on, it says, the old life is gone, a new life has begun. So what's happened? Somebody's life has been what? To use our word, reset, refreshed, renewed because of Jesus. And then verse 18, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Now it goes on, this is good scripture. I'd encourage you to read further. Can I give you homework? Read further. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. It talks about this, or 17, this is what it says. But it goes on, and then it says, and now you get to go out, if you're a new person in Christ, and you get to be, it says, ambassador for Christ. What that means is you represent Christ. And I'm not going to get too far into this, but I just want to say what it means is you go out and you share the same message that you received, which is, guess what? You can be new in Christ. You have an opportunity to reset. Well, don't you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. You can reset your life in Christ. Isn't that incredible? That's the message that we go out and share. So often it's not. So often the church gets it wrong. But that is the message we go to share, is that in him, we have another chance. Well, John, I mean, some people, they've been given enough chances, haven't they? Maybe for you, but not for God. He gives them another chance. He gives them another opportunity to be reset. So what Paul is doing here is he's giving us something very important, and this is foundational, because in just a moment, I'm going to share with you some practical things I think you could reset your life in the coming, you know, in the coming year as we move into this new season, this new year. But I wanted to highlight a couple of words on here and bring up a very foundational point. The words are the same. It's the word new. You become a new person, a new life has begun. That word new in the original text, the original language was in Greek. And the word in Greek is kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S is the way we would transliterate it. Greek have a different alphabet, but that's the way we would spell it, kainos. The word means new, but it can also mean, I love this, fresh. I mean, who likes fresh fruit rather than stale fruit, right? But so often my life feels stale. Anybody else? So often the things I do make me feel, oh. But what it's saying is, in Christ, you can be fresh. You can be reset. You can be renewed. And so what Paul is saying, don't miss this. This is so important because the things I'm about to say are connected to this foundational point first. You could say it this way. God resets me by setting me upon Jesus. That's what that verse said. That's what he was trying to say. He's like, look, all of this is a gift from God, he said, who sets us on Christ. So on Jesus, we're set upon Jesus. And when we're set upon Jesus, our life is reset. So we can't by some just try to reset our own lives. I've tried it. It doesn't work. It's in Christ that I'm so learning this now as a follower of Jesus. I've been a Christian a long time, but I will tell you that I'm just now learning what I'm telling you. So if you're like, man, that sounds like me, I know. You can go a long time trying and trying and trying, and then you finally realize there's nothing I can do except know Christ, be in a relationship with Christ. He is the hope of everything else. And so the way God resets my life, declutters my life, takes me to the place he wants me to be, deals with my sin, all of this stuff. We tell people too often in the church, listen, can I just say this? That, man, if you would just get yourself cleaned up, Jesus will love you. What? That is heresy, my friends. False teaching is what heresy is. What we should be saying is, God loves you right where you are, amen? Right where you are. Well, I don't have to clean myself up? You can't. You can't. I can't. It's Christ who does it. I feel like the psalm writer in the Old Testament. Let me read. Tell me if this, for those of you who are followers of Jesus, doesn't this feel like your life? Psalm chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. Maybe not that part for me, but I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. So we cry out to God, God, I need help. I need you to. He, what? Lifted me. Did I lift myself? No. He, what? He lifted me out of the slimy pit. Has anybody ever been in the slimy pit in here? I don't mean a literal slimy pit. I mean your life, friends. Your life is a slimy pit. You try to make it look nice by decorating it, but it's a slimy pit, isn't it? I know mine is. You took me, this is talking about God in Christ, out of the slimy pit, and he goes on, out of the mud and the mire, and you set my feet on a rock. Now, David is writing this psalm, King David. By the way, he committed adultery and had a man killed in battle. And now he's saying this. There is hope for anybody, friends. And what he's saying is, you took me from that life and you reset me. But how did you reset me? You set me on the rock. Who is the rock? Christ. David didn't even know this yet. Christ would come from the line of David. How much do you love that? But he already knows that God is the rock and our rock is Christ. You gave me a what? Firm place to stand. That mud and mire was not firm, but Christ is. You see, and this is what happens. Then you begin to sing a new song because you've reset me, so things are different. By the way, the Psalms have the word rock over and over. If you're to do a word study and you put rock in there, you're going to get more times that it occurs in the Psalms than in the rest of the Bible combined. The Psalm writers constantly talk about the fact that God has taken them from the mud and the mire, and he has put them on a rock. And when it talks about the rock, it's more than like just a little rock. What it's talking about is a mountain. And when you get put on the mountain of God and he takes you from the valley and he places you up there, what happens? You look out and you go, now I see. Have you ever had that experience? It's always 20/20. Hindsight is 20/20, right? I wish I could get it in the moment. But so often I'm down in the muck and the mire and I don't see it. I don't see what God's up to. I don't see what he's doing. But he takes me and he places me up here. Is this not good God who does this? I can't climb the mountain myself. I've tried. You will scrape and you can't get there. But he places you on the rock. The rock is Christ. The way that your life is reset is when it's set upon Jesus. Then he puts a new song in your mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see him and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. What this is saying is when people see what God's done with you, they'll be like, wow, I want that too. I want that second chance. I want to be reset. So the way God resets me is by, don't miss it, setting me upon Jesus. What this means is God is a God of fresh starts. I just think somebody needs to hear that today. God is a God of new starts. The word new means fresh. God allows you to reset your life. Jesus, who is our rock, is the greatest example of this. Jesus is God's reset for our lives. He has come so that no matter how many times you have to do it, you can be reset. This is what God does for us. Now, I'm not sure everybody in the room here today is a Christian. Some may say, and we want you to know, we welcome you here. We're glad you're here. We want everybody to feel welcome here. Even if you're not a Christian, yeah, and even if you're not a church person, we want you to feel welcome and loved and accepted in this place. But we would also want you to know that we believe that the way that your life gets turned around, the way that you declutter, the way that you deal with your sins and struggles and flaws and all of that is not by sheer willpower. It's by the power of God in Christ. As he sets you upon the rock, it resets your life. And so I was just thinking, I don't know, maybe there's somebody here today, as they hear that, they've never heard it said that way. They've said, I always thought I had to climb the mountain myself. I was even taught in the church that, you know, I wasn't good enough. Well, I'm sorry you heard that. God loves you. He died for you. He takes you from the muck and the mire, and he places you on the rock no matter who you are, no matter what your life is like. He loves you. So maybe you've never heard it said that way before. Maybe you would want that. So what I wanted to do today was take a few moments of pause and pray for folks as I talk about the different kind of folks that are here today. And I think maybe there's somebody in the room who's not a Christian, who has never said yes to Jesus, who has never heard it said the way that we just said it, and says, I want that. I would love my life to be reset. I need something. I need a fresh start. And listen, you don't have to know it all. You don't have to know all the books of the Bible in order. You don't have to know how many there are. You don't have to have read this all first. Okay, you just have to say, yes, that's what I want. Amen? I mean, how incredible. I want Christ. So I want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and let's pray. And if this is you, pray this prayer with me. Just join me in your heart. Lord, as we come before you this morning, there may be some in the room who have not said yes to you in a relationship with you, who have not allowed you to pick them up out of the mud and the mire and place them on the rock. Maybe they never even heard it said that way. So God, for those people, Lord, I pray for them. And they now in this moment pray and say, Jesus, be my rock. Be my rock. Set me upon a solid foundation, for the place I stand is shaky and it is not sure. And I need a sure and firm foundation. In Jesus' name, who resets me, we pray. Amen. Maybe you prayed that. If you did, awesome. And a lot of times I have people stand up and all that. Today I felt like I'm just going to invite you to pray that. And if you prayed that, let me tell you this. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus. Amen? And what that means is your life is set upon the rock. Does that mean everything's going to be perfect? No. I'm here to tell you it's not. But you have the one who is perfect. You have Christ who walks with you and is with you. So thank God that people might pray that prayer to know Jesus. If you prayed that, I'd love to hear afterwards that you did so that I can celebrate with you and we can celebrate with you as well. I want to get practical with this now and just mention three areas that I would challenge you to reset your life. As we enter into this new season, this new passage of time, it just feels like that. People are saying, it just feels like it's a new season at Quest. It's a new season in life. I know. It's because of the time of year and stuff that's happening. And here we are. We moved into this new facility and this new campus and stuff. I mean, for us as a church. So I want to invite you to consider resetting your life in three areas. And I want you to know, for me, I prayed about these. And these are the ones I settled on. And they didn't sound all fancy, and I couldn't even come up with letters to make a match and stuff. Is that okay today? I know, I try to do that, but I just felt like these were the ones I was supposed to say. The first is my faith. That maybe there are some people in the room who say, I need to reset my faith. By the way, if you just prayed that prayer, you did. You became a person of faith, a follower of Jesus. And so you've certainly reset your life. But there are many Christians in this place. I know you. You're my friends and family. I know. And we're in this together. And you would say, my faith needs a reset. What I mean is, maybe you're like, I'm not even spending time with God. I don't read his word. I don't pray. We talked about that last week, by the way. And you're like, are you telling me that all the guilt is gone, all the shame of that is gone, I can just start over tomorrow? Yes. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. He says, yes, stop. You're heaping that upon yourself. I want you to start fresh and new. Yes, just start. Start fresh. Isn't that awesome? So you can wake up tomorrow and do it. You're good. You're good. Tomorrow morning, wake up. And do it. Isn't that awesome? It's a fresh start. Everybody here is new in Christ. It's so awesome. And so we can do that. Or maybe you're a person in the room who is dealing with some things. Like you have settled in your sin. I know what that's like. Maybe you're a gossiper and you just accept yourself as one. Maybe you're a prideful person. You just accept, God loves me. He does love you, but he wants to change you, friends. Amen? Have you not learned this? Maybe you're no good at listening. Remember a couple weeks ago, what did James say? Stop talking and listen more. We looked at that scripture. So he wants you to become a listener. I mean, those kinds of things. Maybe you have a certain sin in your life that no one knows about. Maybe you have an addiction to something. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's some drug. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's gambling. I don't know what it is, but it really is ruling your life or destroying your life in some way. And you've just kind of accepted it. I am a Christian, but I've accepted this part of my life. What if you could reset that and be made new? And it could be done with and gone and you're forgiven. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, you have no idea, man. That would be great, but I don't even trust myself. By Wednesday of this week, I'm toast. I've been there. I know that struggle. I know that journey. But I'm telling you, if you'll even use my life as an example, it can be overcome in Christ. If we don't believe that, then we have a weak God. Amen? I mean, do you want a weak God or do you want a God who has died for you and can overcome your sin, who can help you be made new so you don't have to carry the shame and the guilt and all of that? He doesn't want you to carry that anyway. He carried it for you. So you can be made new in your faith, whatever it is. I want to pray for you. And I believe that there are Christians in the room today who would say, I need my faith reset. And when I say amen, I want you to know this. You've been reset. Your faith is new. We believe in a strong and a good God. Amen? So let's pray. God, for the Christians in the room, who need a reset in their faith, God, I just pray it for them. God, reset their faith. Give them a fresh start, whether it's a sin, an addiction, whether it's just they're not spending time with you or their prayer life has suffered and they're just not, they're so busy, they just have to declutter something. They're given to everything else but you. God, I pray you give them a fresh start. We pray this in the name of Jesus who resets us by setting us on himself. Amen. My faith. Secondly, my presence. That sounds weird. But I want to invite you to start fresh with your presence. And I want you to know I mean that in a very specific way. And I'm taking a pastoral moment of privilege here. I'm talking about the context of community and church. That as we enter into this year, because I just believe something about community strongly, that we grow in the context of community in ways we never do without it. And so we need one another, right? And so I'm inviting you to be physically present in the context of this church community in this coming year. Make a commitment to it. Start fresh. If you haven't been here all summer and you're still not here and you're watching this online, we love you. Get here. Amen? But you're here and you're back. We're glad you're here. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what you did this summer. I'm not. I took time off. We all do. But would you commit now that as much as you can, when you can, you'll be physically present in the context of community. And by the way, that's not just worship. That's also community groups. And maybe you signed up for the disciple study we're doing. We have almost 70 people signed up for that. That's exciting to me. I mean, whatever it is, but you'll be present. But also, not just physically. Do you know it's possible, I think? I don't know, but I think it's possible to be present physically but gone spiritually. Like, not there. Like, you show up. I know because I've stood on this stage before and been present physically but not here spiritually. I'm confessing to you that can happen. And so I know it can happen to you. But to be there and to say, God, I come and whatever you want to do, I need it. So I want to invite you to be present in this coming year and to reset your life to that. To say, yes, if you're married, whatever, talk about it with your spouse. Talk about it with your family. I love kids because kids always get their parents back to church. I miss that place. So, let that work as well. I mean, just be present. So let's pray for that we would be present. God, we come this morning and we also pray that we would not only be resetting our faith, but God, we would reset and renew and start fresh with our presence. And we're 100% right now because we're here. So God, help us to continue to be here, not only physically, but spiritually. And not so folks would think it's about numbers, but because people will grow as disciples of Jesus Christ and make a difference even more in this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus who resets us by setting us upon himself. Amen. One more thing I wanted to say to you. I want to invite you to reset your relationships as you enter into a new season and passage of time. My faith, my presence, my relationships. Certainly, listen, if you're married, you know I talk about this exhaustively probably, and we need to hear it. Some of us need fresh starts, new starts, in our marriage. Thank God he gives us new starts. Thank God our spouse forgives us. Amen. Sean and I need it today. You may need it as well. A fresh start, a reset in your marriage. Decide today as a husband to love your wife. Decide today as a wife to love your husband the way they need to be loved, the way God wired them. Stop trying to change them. Just accept them and love them the way God made them. Realize that God loves you so much, he gave you somebody and put you with somebody that ain't like you. Amen? And maybe God's working on you through that. So stop working on them. Some of you, do you know what I'm talking about? All right. I mean, come on. If you're not married, can I call you, I've said this before, can I call you to live in holiness as a single person? And if you haven't been, to reset yourself with that now. Right now, yeah, you can start fresh. You can do that new. And it's okay. You can. And to say, I'm going to start fresh with that. in your friendships, in your coworker relationships. Maybe you need a reset. See, some of you are going to work tomorrow and there's that person and you can even see their face right now as I say it. And you're like, no, I didn't think you were going to go there. I was really hoping you were going to leave that off. And you say, I've prayed for them. It doesn't work. You've done all that, right? But can I challenge you to pray for them some more, because obviously it's not working enough on you. When you pray for people, God does give you love for them if your heart is open. Jesus said crazy stuff like pray for your enemies. I mean, I would dare say most people at your workplace aren't your enemy. It may feel like it, but they're not. But to pray for them and to love them, and can you just kind of go, God, just reset me today because I'm going to work tomorrow, or whatever it is that we would ask God. And then finally, you know, as Christians, as followers of Jesus especially, would you decide that as you go out of these doors today, the way you live in this world, the way you run into people as strangers and in public places and in stores and everything else, that you'll decide to be loving and compassionate to people? A representative and an ambassador for Christ, and even, this is crazy, to invite people into relationship with God, and especially into community. To invite people, I always like to say it this way, to the church you love. And if this isn't the church you love, to invite, go to a church that you love. Go to a church that you love. I'll help you find one. And invite people there. To be in the context and know what you know. So resetting ourselves in relationships as well, whatever that means, that's very practical. Let's pray for that one. Father, we just pray right now that you'll help us to reset ourselves in Christ, in relationships, God, certainly in marriage, not just in marriage, but in family, in friendships, in church, in community, in our workplace, just as we go out into the world and run into people. God, we need a fresh start, a new start. We need your heart. So we pray for that. And we pray it in the name of Jesus, who resets us by setting us upon himself on the rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all, there's a lot of other things we probably need fresh starts, restarts on. Those are the things I felt, you know, just led to say to you today and to invite you to be reset in. But most of all, I just want us to know that we have a God who is so good that he picks us up out of that mud and the mire, and he sets us in a new place on a sure foundation. And the only way to do the things we've talked about today are in him. So we invite you to be set upon the rock. Christ wants to do that in your life. And maybe it's the first time you did it, and maybe, like me, you're like, seriously, I got to do it again? Yeah. You're being saved. That should be hopeful. It's not over yet. God's working on you. He's working on me. So he resets us in this life. So let me pray for that as we move into this time of response. And let's set our hearts towards God in this prayer. God, as we gather and as we respond, we confess that we need a reset today. Everybody in this room. So God, help us to start fresh in you. We're so thankful that you give us a fresh start, a new start again today. In Christ's name, and I've said this so many times today, but in Christ's name, who resets us by setting us upon himself, because he's the rock and he gives us the perspective we need. We pray these things. Amen.